privilege to be able to have a friend day and to be able to have a friend come in for a friend day. Brother Sam and Sue Husser have been called by God to serve in the Lord's work. They've been here several years ago. I think it's been about 7 years since they've been here. God has called this man to the ministry. I think you have pastored, you started a church about 10 years ago. He might talk a little bit about that, but he's now pastoring in Pearl River, Louisiana. He lives down in Slidell, Louisiana. And God has used him in evangelism to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a great friend of this ministry, great friend of many in our congregation. It's a privilege to be able to have him back here in the great state of Michigan on a nice sunny day, brother.
Yes.
Glad to have you here.
We brought it with us.
Amen. Give him a hand.
No. Did you enjoy that music program? Let's give him a hand. Come on. That was good. Are you glad to be in the house of God? Amen?
Amen.
I'd rather be here than be in jail.
Amen.
I don't know how it is to be in jail, but I asked several of y'all's deacons, and they didn't like it, so I'm just glad to be here. Amen. So, amen. I'd rather be here than be in the best hospital in this county. Amen. I love it. Joy to be with Brother Rick, Pastor Rick, up north. Y'all say pastor, and y'all say that odd word snow or something. I don't know what that is, but in South Louisiana, if we get the possibility of a trace of snow, we call school off. Amen. That's it, the possibility of a trace, and it's over with. But you guys are familiar with it, and you can have it. Amen. Now, we get the hurricane, so we can send one of those your way if you'd like it, so go from there. There was a mom came to the pastor and said, "My little boy, I'm concerned about him." And said he just exaggerates and he tells big lies and he just exaggerates unbelievable stories. And the pastor, "Look, I can take care of it. I can handle it. Send him into my office and I'll talk to him." So she sent him in and the pastor set the little boy down behind the desk and said, "Son, I'm going to tell you a story." He said, "I was up in North Carolina preaching a revival and the place was packed with people. And out of those mountains come this big, massive bear. And he just kicked the door in, the back door of the church, and just walked right down the aisle and started grabbing people and just chewing them up alive and spitting them out and throwing, killing everywhere. And said, out of nowhere, this little bitty feist dog come running out of the mountains, come running right in the church and grabbed that big old bear and just choked him to death right there." He said, "Now, son, do you believe this story?" The little boy looked up and said, "Oh, yes, sir, that was my dog." Amen. I am from the country, you can tell. And in the process of buying a farm and rebuilding a farm, we were tearing an old shed down one day. And in that, between those boards, we found a full skeleton, body skeleton. And upon further investigation, do you know what it was? It was a 1948 hide-and-go-seek champion. Now, some of y'all may never catch on to that. Amen. We'll explain it to the blondes after church. Amen. There was a hippie standing on the side of the road, and he was doing just like this. And this guy walked up to him and said, "Son, what in the world are you doing?" He said, "I'm scaring the elephants away, man. I'm scaring the elephants away." He said, "Man, there's not an elephant within 500 miles of this place." He said, "Doing a good job, buddy. Doing a good job." Amen. Turn your Bible to John chapter 4. We'll be back tonight, and we'll either be preaching on geese or camels. So don't miss it. What time y'all start tonight? 6 o'clock? Everybody on the count of three, say 6 o'clock. 1, 2, 3.
6 o'clock.
That's about what attendance will be. Amen. Everybody on the count of three, say 6 o'clock. 1, 2, 3.
6 o'clock.
And I love Jesus and I'll be back. Amen. I bet y'all have a football church here. Hey, back. All right, go ahead. All right. So anyway. John chapter 4. I love this patch of scripture. In John chapter 5, you'll find a physical wreck. In John chapter 3, you'll find a spiritual wreck. But here in John 4, we find a guy that was just in a wreck. "When therefore the Lord knew," watch this, how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again unto Samaria. Now, verse 4 was not put there just to put it there and fill up space. And he must needs go through Samaria. That was an important verse there. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground which Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Watch this. Now Jacob's well was there. Now Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. Do you know what time it was? It was high noon, the sixth hour. Because in Israel, they don't start their day till 6 o'clock in the morning, and they only count the daylight hours, 12. It's about 12 o'clock. And by the way, when we went over to Israel, I sat on this well at 12 o'clock. And I want you to understand something. Then I figured out why Jesus got tired and thirsty, because it was hot. It was 108 degrees. Remember that? Y'all went with us. It was 108 degrees, and it was hot. Now, here we go. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away on the sea to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it, watch this, that thou being a Jew, ask ye drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. Then answering, Jesus answered and said unto her, watch this, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Now, she's a typical woman. She's arguing. Amen. The woman saith unto her, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Watch this. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children, his cattle? And by the way, the answer to that, my friend, was yes. He was greater than Jacob. He was greater than Abraham. He was greater than all of them. We're going to prove that in a few minutes. Jesus answered and said unto her, watch my finger now. He said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. He pointed at the well. But look what he said. Then he pointed at himself. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall be in him. But the water that I shall give him be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. This woman was a different type of woman than a lot of the other women in the church. And we're going to deal with her just a few minutes this morning. I don't preach very long anymore. I used to preach a long, long time because of evangelism, but I don't preach very long. I sort of feel like the guys that were sitting around the waiting room waiting on the announcements of the babies, and a nurse poked her head through the door and said, is Mr. Jones here? He said, I'm Mr. Jones. He said, well, your wife had just given birth to a beautiful set of twins. He said, well, that's kind of strange. He said, I play ball for the Minnesota Twins. Another nurse poked her head through the door and said, Mr. Smith here. I'm Mr. Smith. And said, well, your wife had just given birth to a beautiful set of triplets. He said, oh, that's kind of odd. He said, I work for the 3M company. About the time an old boy grabbed his coat, started to get out, he said, where are you going? He said, anywhere from here, I work for 7-Up. Amen. Amen. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, the Bible says that he must needs go through Samaria. Listen to me. There was a distance that he had to travel. And if you'll go to your last book of the Bible called the Book of Maps, some of y'all catch on that one day. There's a fourth map in my Bible that, watch this, it's got Judea and Galilee. And lying in between Judea and Galilee is a little bitty country called Samaria. Now, nobody, when she said the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans, she knew what she meant. Because it's told that when the Jews were going to travel from Judea to Galilee, what? They would not go through Samaria, they would go around Samaria. Why? Because I'm going to tell you the truth about it. Might as well lay it on the line. Do like the chicken walking across the road, just lay it on the line. Here we go. You ready? Because these were impoverished, diseased, very poor, poor people. They were half-breed people, half Jew and half Gentile. There's only 1,200 Samaritans left on the face of the earth from this day on. I'm telling you, watch this. The distance meant nothing to Christ because this Jesus Christ that walked right through Samaria. Watch this. This same Jesus Christ had already left the glories of heaven, come down to a sin-cursed, hell-deserving society, lived a spotless life, died a cruel death, and conquered death, hell, and the grave the third day. Hey, listen to me. Distance meant nothing to him. Come on, folk. Distance meant nothing. He'd already traveled from heaven down to earth, so a few more miles didn't mean a thing, shorter or longer. But I want you to know something. The reason he said, I must need to go through Samaria, there was a destination there. He went to a certain well. Now, Jacob was known in the Bible as the well digger. Is that correct? Come on. He dug one well after the other all the time for different areas of the country. But I'm telling you, by the way, there was a certain well at a certain place that Jesus Christ was going to meet a certain woman. Hey, and that lady was going to get saved. Now, it's sweeping our country, watch me close, it's sweeping our country that Jesus Christ was some kind of a freak, that he was half man and half God. Well, I want to stop and clear that up right now for you, brother. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ was not half man and half God. Jesus Christ was all man and all God. Amen. He was all the way. He wasn't some kind of freak. He was the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And by the way, he's all man, all God. Watch me close. He said, I got thirsty. I got hungry. I got tired. And I sat down on the well. But I don't just, he's all man. But hey, there's a woman about to leave this well, totally different, changed in her heart. She's going to be saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. And only Jesus Christ can save somebody. Are you listening to me? You better say amen. Only Jesus Christ. Amen. He's not a better way to get saved. He's not the best way to get saved. Don't get ahead of me. He's not the best way to get saved, my friend. He is the only way to get saved. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. He's not better plan. He's not a better Savior than Muhammad. He's not better than Buddha. If you're going to get saved and die when you die, go to heaven, and you're going to wake up dead one day. You're going to wake up dead one day. And 1 second after you wake up, my friend, you're going to be spending your eternity wherever you decided in your lifetime to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to heaven. Amen. Now watch me close. There was a destination there, a certain well at a certain place. I want to ask you a question. Can you look back over your life and find that point in your life where you know you let Jesus Christ come into your heart and save your soul? Hey, if you do, that moment's fresh on your mind right now. Amen. You might not know the date that it happened on. Now, you can dip from this. You can clean it up after I'm gone, all right? But you might not know the date that it happened on. You might not know what day it happened on. For years, me and Sue, we'd sing an old song. Y'all ever sing an old song? It was on a Monday. Somebody touched me. It was on Tuesday. Somebody touched me. And me and Sue stood on Tuesday because we got saved the first day of camp. Watch me close now. Watch. Hey, then years later, I was reading a magazine and it said, hey, camp didn't start on Monday. So we've been staying the wrong day the whole time. We got saved on the Monday. But it don't matter whether it's Monday or Tuesday. It was the fact that I know I gave my heart to him and asked the Lord to come to my heart, save my soul. It was on the right side of Highway 90 going from Slidell, Louisiana to Covington. On the right side. Not on the left side. By the way, I've been on the right side ever since. Because see, there's a difference. On the right side of Highway 90, you understand where I'm coming from. On the right side, there was a camp going on. There was a youth camp going on. And Phil Mountain Howard preached the Word of God. I got under conviction, got on my knees, and asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save my soul. Hey, on the left side is a mental institution. I want to make it clear, I was on the right side. Somebody said, that's Sam Hutchins, he's a nut. He's a nut. I might be nuts, but I'm screwed to the right boat. And I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. I can always go back to that place by those three big tall pine trees and that old sandy sand where I got down on my knees, and that's where I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save my soul. Where is your well? You better get a well. You better know where you got saved at. And I promise you, you might not know the date. You might not know what day it was on, but if you've got a well where you know you let Jesus Christ come to your heart and save you, that well is fresh on your mind right now. You're thinking about it right now. That place where you know you let Jesus Christ come to your heart and save you. Number three, let's talk about this woman, the destitute. Now, this woman had been married 5 times, and now she's shacked up. I'm sorry, she's living with someone. See, we don't call sin, sin no more. Come on. We don't call it stealing. We call it misappropriated funds. Amen. By the way, in God's eyes, sin is still sin. This woman been married 5 times. She's now living with a man, not even her husband. Now watch me close. Hey, she has reached the bottom of the bottom of the bottom. Now watch me close, men. You don't want to miss this. Why? Bump your husband. Wake him up right now. By the way, if you sleep while I preach, you're a sleeper. Watch me. Hey, let me tell you how you got divorced back in those days. All you had to do was remember where you met her at. You would take her back to that place, and you would drop her off and say, I don't want you anymore. And that was an official divorce back in those days. Now, men, I want to tell you something. You cannot do that today. It will cost you thousands to drop that woman off. Amen? Quit thinking about it, Tony. Amen. All right, so anyway. I wouldn't dare call Tony's name. Amen. I'm just telling you, hey. But listen, hey. This woman had been five times. She had been taken back to this different spot and dropped off and said, I don't want you anymore. Can you imagine the sadness, the heartbreak? Come on, folks. 5 times been rejected. But I want to tell you, my friend, she's about to meet a man that rejected nobody. She's about to meet a man that loved everybody. His name was Jesus Christ. And he wanted to come into her heart and save her soul. Can you imagine, watch this, the decision that she made to give her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch me close. Your friends has invited a lot of your friends. And your church members, you invited some of your church members. Good to have your church members at church. But by the way, this pastor's been praying for everyone that come through that door who is lost without Christ to give their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you. That decision's already been made. He wants you to give your heart to the Lord. We got a bunch of men and women around here praying. They want you to get saved. Sam and Sue want you to get saved. We'll make that decision for you, but we can't make it for you. That decision has to be made by you. Nobody else can make it for you. Your godly mom and dad can't make it. Your children can't make it for you. You, my friend, as an individual, have to make that decision whether or not you're going to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior or reject Him forever. That decision has to be made. And I want you to understand something, the difference in her life. Now watch me close. After she got saved, she went through the town saying, come see a man that told me all things I've ever done. Come see a man. Now hang on just a second. You need to understand something. Let's get down real. Can you imagine how many times this woman has walked down through town with a new man on her arm? Think about it. Come see my new man. She'd had 5 husbands. Don't tell me, I mean, she'd come see my man. But this time, the entire city followed her out there. Why? Why would they just say, that's that old gal with another man? Another man. No, because I'm going to tell you why they saw a difference in her life. In my first pastorate, you can get away with anything in your first pastorate. You can always claim ignorance. I didn't know. I mean, come on. You can slide things past the deacon board there and everything. I didn't know. I didn't know. I wasn't supposed to do that. I didn't know I wasn't allowed to do that. What? We ran a bus route over the Rainbow Bridge in Portland, Texas, and picked up a bunch of children. Well, they broke the rule. One of them brought his mother to church. Now, bus kids are not supposed to bring their mom and dad to church, but he did. Of all things, she got saved. Okay? She got saved. Amen. Amen. All right, okay, we go. She got saved. Aren't you glad the woman got saved? Amen. All right, here we go. I'm starting to take 3 months to preach to you guys. Amen. Anyway, here we go. Hey. Upon further investigation, we found out that this lady had a reputation. She had been a prostitute on the streets of Corpus Christi. And I noticed as the weeks passed that the women didn't want their husbands around her. So I called, and I got away with this. I called for a meeting of the ladies. And I said, I have 2 points to my sermon this morning. Number one, remember something, ladies, if it would not have been for the grace of God, all of you all would have had that same identical reputation. Amen. Do I need to start this illustration all over again? If it would have been for the grace of God, all of you all could have had that same reputation. And I said, number two, I've seen most of your husbands. And your last worry is anybody wanting to run off with them. So don't sweat it. It's cool. Amen. From that point on, they welcomed the young lady. We won her husband to Christ and her entire family to Christ. Amen. But they made a difference in her life. And I'm telling you, when Jesus Christ comes into your heart, He'll make a difference in your life. I was sitting at the door of my bus in Vidalia, Louisiana, minding my own business, as I normally do, being a very good little preacher, as I normally am. And there was a couple of ladies come walking by, and I think they meant well. They theologically, they were off a little. And they began to witness to me. Now, they didn't realize I was a preacher. They didn't realize I was an evangelist. And that had nothing to do with me getting saved. A lot of preachers are going to go to hell. A lot of deacons are going to go to hell thinking they got saved. Anyway, these two ladies, they began to witness to me. And they said, "Do you know you've trusted Christ?" "Yes, I am. I know I'm saved." One of them asked the golden question, "What are the evidences of your salvation?" And I acted dumb, which is not hard for me to do. I said, "What do you mean the evidence of my salvation? What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, have you ever spoken tongues?" I said, "Well, I preached 17 times in Mexico. Nobody understood a word I said down there." That was cute, wasn't it? Amen. Anyway, I said, "Do you have the gift of healing?" I said, "Well, I don't know." I said, "Look, if you got the gift of healing, you also got the gift to resurrect the dead." I said, "Meet me at the hospital. We'll get them. Most of them want to be healed." Now, there's some hypochondriac down there that want to stay there, but I'm just telling you, there's some don't want to be healed. But come on. And by the way, after the hospital, we'll go to the graveyard. You get the first one up, I'll get the rest of them up. Amen. But she worried me, and I got concerned. I said, "What's the evidence of my salvation?" So I went to the Word of God to find out the truth, and here it is, 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new unto him." My friend, here's the evidence of your salvation. Has there been a difference in your life? Has there been a difference in your life? A new attitude, a new spirit, a new dawning of your life and life more abundant. I'm telling you, has there been a difference in your life? When Christ comes into your heart, He changes everything. I got a friend of mine that's a singer, Mark Lanier. He wrote a song over his little son's best friend, Daddy, got killed in a car crash. They were sitting out in the backyard. And the little boy looked up and said, "Dad, this death changes everything." Folks, I want you to understand something. When you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, this changes everything. Aren't you glad you're saved by His grace? Where is your well? If you've never experienced Jesus Christ, today can be the day you open up your heart and trust Christ as your Savior. I'm talking to Baptists. I'm talking to Methodists. I'm talking to church members. I'm talking to husbands and wives and children and teenagers. Find your well. Mine was on July 29, 1969. The only reason I remember the date, because I went to my father after I got saved. And I said, "Dad, I just got saved." And he said, "Son, this is the greatest birthday gift I've ever received. My boy getting saved. I got saved on my daddy's birthday." Now, folks, I want to tell you something. Nothing can touch that, amen, when you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And today can be your day. You wasn't here by accident. You're not here by accident. You're not here just meandered in. God put you right here today to convict you by the Holy Spirit of God to call you to salvation. While we stand and have an invitation hymn, while God's people are getting ready, let's go musicians. Our good pastor will be standing here in the front. And if you're here today and you know somebody lost without Christ, you want to come to this altar and pray for them. They might even be in this building. You ought to come out and get on your knees and ask, "Lord, please, save so-and-so, save so-and-so." But if you don't know Christ as your Savior, today can be that day. You trust Christ as your Savior. Let's have a word of prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, I hope and pray that I presented the gospel so plain that even a simple wayfaring man can understand it. And if there's one here today that's never had a well experience where they know they gave their heart to you and trust you as their Savior, I pray today that today will be their day they give their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, and they'll meet the best friend they'll ever have. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A friend that loveth at all times, the Bible says. God, I pray today at this altar filled with people praying for lost people that the lost will come today and receive Christ our Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. While we're singing Invitation Hymn, you come as God speaks to your heart. Come on. Amen.
I want
you come. Maybe you've got somebody in your family that's lost without Christ. Might have a friend that's lost without Christ. You'll come to these altars right where you're at. Leave where you're at. Come be and pray for them right now. While God moves on your heart, you come. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Today you don't know Christ as your Savior. Today can be that day. You can come right now and say, I need to give my heart to Pastor Rick. I need to be saved. Amen. You come and the Lord speaks to your heart. Come on right now. Some of you men might want to come pray for a lost wife. Some of you ladies want to come pray for a lost husband, a lost teenager, a lost child. You come as God speaks to your heart. Amen.
Coming home.
Amen.
Nevermore to roam.
Amen. God bless you.
Open wide thine eyes.
Amen.
Of love. Lord, I'm coming home.
I'll ask you to do me a favor. Every head bowed, every eye closed. While he just plays real softly. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Would there be one in this building that would raise your hand and say, Brother Sam, I know that I'm saved. I know that I had a well experience where I trusted Christ my Savior. It was 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago, or 25 years ago. But I know that I'm saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. I want you to raise your hand. Put your hand real high. Brother Sam, I know I've been saved. Amen. God bless you. You may lower your hands all over this building. Thank God. People had different experiences, different places, but they got the same Savior in their heart. Because He searches everywhere to save people from hell. Would it be somebody here today that said, Brother Sam, I'm going to ease my hand up. I've got a friend. I've got a family member that is lost without Christ. By their own testimony, they're going to die and go to hell. And I'm concerned about them. I want to pray for them. And I want you to pray with me as a prayer partner and Pastor Rick to pray with me as a prayer partner. I want you to pray that they'll get saved before it's everlasting too late. I want you to raise your hand on behalf of your friend. Brother Sam, please pray. I got a family member that's lost without Christ. I got a friend. I got an acquaintance. Amen. God bless your heart all over this building. Now, would there be one in this building? We always get down this, that has never trusted Christ as your Savior. You know in your heart you've never been saved. You don't have the peace that passes all understanding. You don't have life in it more abundantly. You're just going through life without Christ. But today, it's been revealed to you that you're lost without Christ. And today's the day you need to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to come to you, not going to point you out. I just want you to be honest and ease your hand up. Easy and it said, Brother Sam, please pray for me. I'm lost without Christ. I've never been saved. Would you ease your hand up real high, please? Put them up real high. There's one in the back. There's another. You'll raise your hand. Say, Brother Sam, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. And I know in my heart, if I died today, I'd go to hell. But I don't want to. I want to know Christ as my Savior. Anyone else? Just ease your hand up. Put them right back down. God bless your heart. Anyone else? All right. Now I want to ask God's people to do something right now. Bow your head and close your eyes and honestly pray that the people that raised their hand that said they're lost without Christ, that today would be the day they give their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Today would be the day they get it settled where they're going to spend eternity at. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray today for the soul in this building that is nearest to hell, the one that will never hear another gospel message, never get another opportunity to trust you as a Savior. I pray, God, today that you'd save that soul. Dear Lord, please touch their heart. Call them to salvation. Let them swallow their pride. Whether they raise the hand or not, they realize they're lost. They need to make their way down this aisle and say, Pastor Rick, today I need to give my heart to the Lord. and really know that I know Christ as my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We'll have one more verse of invitation. You come as God speaks to your heart right now. Let's go. Amen. He can make a difference in your life. He will make a difference in your life. Amen. Just preach it to you, present it to you, fall on your end of the court, where you're going to spend your eternity at. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thought and we're closing.